Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast from Math on Blockchain. I'm here, and with me, as always, Daniele Menzi. Hi, Daniele. How are you?
Hi, Dario. Thanks for having me here. I'm great. Thank you.
Good. So, Daniele, we've touched a lot of different topics in our usual podcast. So we like to go over all the different parts of the telecommunication world, of the identity world. But actually, it's time maybe to look back at the roots of the blockchain status on payments. Interestingly enough, payments is very close to everything that Math does. That's how we started about 20 years ago, payments of entertainment services. So what's changing out there? Are there some news we should report on?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's plenty of news every day actually in the space. But as you know, there are some, you know, hype-driven news as always, especially end of the year, all people ready for a bull run of the crypto, so expecting to have big gains to share within the Christmas lunch that we don't know we're going to have this year, depending on lockdown stuff. But long story short, what happened, and it's one of the things that it might be, you know, the tipping point, the so-called tipping point in the space. It is that PayPal announced a few days ago that it will introduce Bitcoin and other major cryptocurrencies as a means of payment within their payment system. This is a huge, huge, huge news because for people that, you know, most of us know what PayPal is, but in numbers, PayPal reach several hundreds of millions of people every single day and connect 26 million of vendors within their ecosystem. So this means it's one of the top payment providers in the world. Embracing cryptocurrency is a huge, huge development in the space.
So is that the reason why we've seen the Bitcoin, which is, as you know, as you tell us, one of the most famous of the blockchain currencies, so to speak, the cryptocurrencies, as they're called. We've seen it going up the $12,000. I mean, this one goes up and down the last few years.
Actually, it's 15. Right now, it's $15,000.
$15,000. That shows you how, you know, try to put some money in Bitcoin and you will have a volatility that goes up and down. But these are the good news that probably had pushed it over the 10,000 for a long time, if I'm not mistaken. It was well below the 10,000 level as well. So 30% less than today. So we are seeing a big impact in the world, in the economy, based on this. And you were saying probably people trying to push it for the end of the year, trying to get some money out of it. But wait a second, PayPal, international, we've seen it going up and down in flavor. We've heard PayPal and Bitcoin before as well. I think you mentioned that it was part of the Libra.
Yeah. There was part of Libra Association. Well, they were one of the first to join and one of the first to leave. Yeah. So in fact, obviously, they are one of the first, let's say, believer. And there are obviously plenty of speculations. So there are, you know, the so-called financial analysts that they don't understand why they're embracing this journey. And the hidden comment is that someone at PayPal might have interest in supporting the price of the Bitcoin going high instead of real benefit for the business that Bitcoin might introduce. Others might think it's a huge development because, you know, Bitcoin today, it's widely considered as a store of value, as a medium of exchange, and the embracing of a kind of a new digital native coin will embrace a bigger and bigger audience to somehow starting to use a decentralized currency and understanding what does it mean to use a volatile currency. Today, when you do a transaction, people don't like to have, for example, if you have $100 in your bank account and you transact in US dollar, you don't like the fact that your 100 euro become 50% less in a matter of days or 50% more. Perhaps you might like it, but the fact that it moves like this, it's something that people don't like. I personally believe that volatility is good. in the sense that volatility for me is it gives a visibility. You don't have a hidden risks when you have a very volatile market because you see what's going on. You might like it or not. You might take an advantage or a disadvantage, but you see it. So the fact that they start this journey from a pure, let's say, financial behavior point of view, it's kind of weird because there's no many, you know, extremely volatile currencies where people can use as a means of payment. There's none, actually.
Let's see if I understand. What you're saying is until today, Bitcoin, maybe others, we were born as payment solutions, but quickly became an investment kind of area. You put your
store
money
of, back. Store of, kind of a store of value. I mean, that's what people perceive, like gold, like digital gold, so to say.
Your money, you put it in Bitcoin, and as we're studying for one Bitcoin, 12,000, and so it's not even a denomination which would be easier to pay for. Can you imagine to pay a coffee with a Bitcoin? I mean,
it's a kind of weird, so to me, this is a kind of weird reasoning, because what for me is a store of value, it's something that doesn't change significantly in price over time. For example, for me, gold is a store of value, because in the next 10 years, I don't expect the gold is moving 10% a day or 5% a day. I expect kind of a stable behavior, similar in real estate, right? So you expect very stable price movements over time with some little gains, but you're almost sure you will not lose your money. That's what, for me, what store of value is. In the kind of millennials way of thinking, there's no real anything physical behind the store of value. Bitcoin is considered a store of value because you buy and you store the value that might change over time, but it's kept forever on a digital ledger. That's the new way of thinking about store of value.
Well, store of value is one thing, but let me ask, because we've seen many other failing before on regulations, because money payments is, well, thanks God, super regulated. You know, it's something very important to us. Now, PayPal, it allows you to pay with Bitcoin. What will the government, what will the central bank say? Something they already have said about Libra before. Will they now wake up and say, yes, go out PayPal, you're free to go, don't worry about.
Now, the key, I mean, PayPal, to provide this service, managed to operate under the licensing agreement in the state of New York with the so-called BIT license over there, which is being, that is not entirely clear who's provided this license, but, you know, on the press, we might find third parties that help PayPal to get this licensing framework into the PayPal environment. So let's say PayPal operates under a certain licensing framework, in this case issued by the state of New York, that allow PayPal to convert virtual currency like Bitcoin into fiat currency, that is US dollar, euro, or other, you know, national issued currencies. So in fact, that the license that PayPal is having is essentially to convert a fully digital native coin like Bitcoin into fiat money. You have to be licensed if you want to convert crypto to fiat into whatever jurisdiction you are operating. Specifically, if you do in the US, it's a highly regulated market, you have to have this type of license to convert. What is interesting to notice is that and I don't want to say this is it might introduce a new standard, but the vendors that are connected to PayPal, they will not receive Bitcoin. And they will not be even offered the chance to choose, I just want to be paid in Bitcoin, for example, for the goods I'm selling via PayPal means of payment. They will be paid as they used to. It doesn't change anything. So in fact, if they were paid by, for example, US dollar, they will be kept on US dollars. There will not be any change for them into interface. It will be PayPal that if I want to pay in Bitcoin, PayPal will convert my Bitcoin that I will have to transfer to the PayPal wallet, and they will convert into spot price of US dollar or whatever other currency for the vendors. Okay, so in fact, there will not be Bitcoin to Bitcoin transaction into the PayPal network, but it will be between the buyer and PayPal, there will be a Bitcoin transaction that will be converted into fiat currency, and at the end, the vendor will be paid in fiat.
So you're going back to what you were saying before, but it seems that PayPal is entering the store value area. So you can store some of your value in a wallet as US dollars, or you can put some of them in Bitcoins now. But everything else downstream remains the same.
Correct. So
everything will still be paid into your usual currency. It will still be traced in the usual ways. And some of the things that Bitcoin was originally famous for, the secrecy, that's cut off because you're still using a fiat currency to charge.
Correct. So in fact, what is going to change is that if you are familiar with Bitcoin, let's say you want to buy a car, today the price of the car will be one Bitcoin, for example, $15,000. Tomorrow, the price of the car might be two Bitcoin. Bitcoin falls down by 50%. Okay, so the conversion rate between dollars and Bitcoin might change over time due to the nature of the volatility of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So this means the price of the same asset in Bitcoin might change significantly, but the price in US dollars stay the same fundamentally.
Well, and that is partly the, for some of the interest, I assume. I can see that some of our banks, I'm talking about UK and US, the challenger banks, the online banks, are even offering Bitcoin options somewhere. So you have seen, I'm talking about Revolut, for instance.
Correct.
In US as well for their cash accounts. So things are existing, but let me ask you, what will be the impact overall, both on the overall payments and the Bitcoin payments? Is it significant? What is changing now?
Well, I mean, what we have observed is that right after this, you know, the PayPal announcement, the market reacted very, very positively. So the price, you know, skyrocketed in a very short amount of time. It might be also due to other reasons, but there were positive, very positive signals sent by the market in terms of, having the need of, due to the scarcity of Bitcoin itself, that is capped at 21 million issued coin, then the market is reacting quite positively. So right now, Bitcoin is not a means of payment which is being adopted by the community, you know, the communities, so the retail payers, right? Because no one is offering Bitcoins, like the chicken and the egg. Until someone is providing this as a means of payment, no one will use it. But until no one is using it, no one will offer as a means of payment. So you never know who's going to start. So PayPal is embracing this this journey. And to me, this is a very nice in terms of experimentation. So because you don't know until you have experimented and you've proven to be right or wrong. So I think they are taking this path. Some people saying, they are much more interested to sustain the price of the Bitcoin, meaning that they say they're going to launch this as the price will go up and eventually they might hedge this someone else. Or it's simply, you know, a path they just want to see whether people will embrace, will extensively use it, and people will take a benefit out of it. So in my view, I can't really say whether it's good or not. I personally believe it's a good move because it goes in the direction to experiment new ways of payment.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to see a bit more of experiments, you're saying, from now on. It might not be.
I encourage anyone in the space, instead of, you know, working on in a full marketing mode, trying to anticipate, for example, as we said many times, in the blockchain and Bitcoin and crypto, you see many potential use cases, right? So instead of talking about potential use case, that is, essentially, it's a marketing activity, anticipating future needs that eventually someone will say, hey, I want to buy. So you buy a proof of concept and eventually you're going to buy technology. I call it a PowerPoint marketing, because at the end you sell a PowerPoint until you're going to sell a product. So I'm much more, encouraging people, entrepreneurs, companies that are taking active steps, experimenting true market development, as in this case. It might fail. Yes, no, we don't know. So, and then you're going to see what you can go next. Because Bitcoin right now, many people saying, is not fast, is not quick enough to support means of payment at scale, as, for example, credit card payments. So because of the speed of growth of the Bitcoin network. But again, there's no measurement. There's no validation. So you cannot really apply logic before experimentation. You always have to experiment first and then apply logic to prove whether you're good or not.
Well, to some of the people out there that would like to experiment, let's give them a bit more of a exact proof of what PayPal is doing, because to some it might be still a bit theoretical. Could you give us an example, a scenario? Here it is. You have your user, Dario. What happens to me and to my friend business?
It's extremely simple. Let's say I have Bitcoins, okay? I bought Bitcoins on, I don't know, for example, Coinbase. This is just an example, okay? Or on Revolut, no, because you cannot move Bitcoin from Revolut. Let's say I buy Bitcoin onto an exchange and I hold the Bitcoin in a wallet, let's say, that is in the exchange. Let's say Coinbase is one of the example. Or what I can do is I have, let's say, one Bitcoin and I want to use a fraction of this Bitcoin. Let's say I want to use a 0.1 Bitcoin. At the current value, one Bitcoin, $15,000. Let's say I can spend $1,500 to buy a TV, for example. Then what I do, what I'm doing is I move my Bitcoin from my Coinbase wallet to the PayPal wallet. Okay, PayPal will provide a Bitcoin wallet. Today, you can move money to PayPal, right? Once you want to pay, for example, or you use the credit card. So let's say you move your Bitcoin into the PayPal wallet, the Bitcoin wallet. I move, let's say, 0.1 Bitcoin into PayPal wallet. And then from my wallet is like a credit card with a cap value at 0.1. I can spend up to 0.1 BTC from my PayPal wallet. Then once I have to make a transaction, I just have to make the login as I'm doing for PayPal transaction, and I have to choose the means of payment. Let's say I choose BTC. And then once I'm making the transaction, exactly the same as I'm using today with PayPal, once I'm making the transaction, PayPal will check whether I have 0.1 BTC in my account, in my balance. And if it works, transaction is moving forward. As simple as that.
And if I am one of those 26 million you mentioned before of businesses,
but vendors.
Vendors accepting PayPal as a payment mechanism, what would change for me? Is anything immediately changing?
No, what is changed for you is that perhaps you're going to have, you're going to sell more, because today people holding crypto, they just hold. They don't have any means to pay them, to use them as a means of payment. While tomorrow, if you enable a bridge of using part of the money you have there and to spend it, you're encouraged to spend, not all of them, because you might consider them as a store of value, just to store over time. You know, some people think about this, but you might spend a fraction of it, let's say 10%, 15%. You might decide to spend your gains in case, for example, Bitcoin goes up by X percent. You might decide to spend X percent of your gains into the real economy. So you just want to pay something, while today you cannot, for example. So if you're a vendor, you should reasonably expect you might have higher volumes, number one. And I don't know whether the higher volumes might be corresponding to the period of time while, for example, price of crypto going high. And perhaps people have more capacity to spend. This is something we will know, you know, in 2021. And but obviously, the more and more people will use cryptocurrencies, and the more people are encouraged to use as a means of payment. And since I'm not saying all cryptocurrencies are gaining, because you know you cannot really say this. But if I take the example of Bitcoin over time. So if I take from 2016, 2015, beside, you know, ups and downs, Bitcoin over a longer period of time, if you try to remove the noise and you keep the signal, Bitcoin has proven to appreciate over time in the last years. It might fall down, but so far has been rising up in price. So fraction of these market cap increase today is not spent to the real economy. Tomorrow, thanks to things like this, might be spent back. So, and I don't know how much is going to be, but could be for maybe in the region of some billion, might be spent back within PayPal, and this might be, you know, enlarged further as a concept.
So there must be some good news there in a time where we're desperate for good news for the economy as well. If all of a sudden the famous multiplier effect we read in our macroeconomics books, now some of the store value which was set aside could actually enter the real economy and hence give a boost to everything we do. So that's definitely a positive side of the story. We'll see if that really happens. Let me ask you as well, Daniele, is everything starting today? Can I go on PayPal and use it, or is it an announcement for something that will take place later on?
No, this is it. There's no firm date yet, but so it will start in the US before the end of the year, from what we what is being communicated, and it will be rolled out on a different jurisdiction. They said early 2021. So this is expected to be rolled out in the you know, major countries in terms of adoption of crypto within the first quarter of 2021. So I think this is a good development, because it somehow is a stimulus of that is going the direction of to try to introduce new means of payment and try to stimulate still the real economy to grow in a period of time where, you know, the outlook is a little bit complicated.
Well, certainly it is. So we'll wait a bit longer. Our friends in US will be able to start up straight away. And then I assume things will probably move to other territories where, you know, legally PayPal also has got a license, which reminds me, given what is happening on some of the currency, I see today Turkish lira, by the way, dropping by 6%, something that has done in the past. UK, the pounds, has been incredibly volatile the last 2 years or so. Those questions about stability is probably volatility by now of currency is available across a long set of developing and developed currencies. So here we go. So we add some more mechanics to all of these incredibly fluid dynamics in a very complicated moment in time for the economy worldwide. We'll have to see what happens, which might open up next, and what the real impact is. But I'll always end up asking you from your crystal ball, which you're hiding, but you seem to have. What do you think? Is PayPal, I mean, we've seen things starting. We've seen the great impact of Libra in terms of debate, even if Libra is now being reconsidered. We've now seen a second attack from PayPal with these solutions, which you said it's got some challenges because it's mixing payments with value storage. But will it work?
Will it work? Well, I guess I think it will provide I think a positive message to the markets, and I hope others will follow. And I believe there will be much more cryptos that will start, you know, entering into the real economy, because I always repeating that stability does not come for free. So this means we pay a price to operate under stability. So that's why I like volatility, because volatility exposes ourselves to risks that we didn't know they were existing under a hood of stability. So to answer to your question, I would like to embrace more and more, you know, the consumers dealing with volatilities in the real life. With, I'm not saying PayPal, Bitcoin, whatever, but I enjoy very much once exposed to volatility, because you have much more margin of maneuver. So, and introducing this into the consumer and provide real alternatives to the normal people, it might mean a healthy and steady economic development into the real economy. So to answer to your question, yes, to me, it's a good development if it stimulates others going into this direction of experimentation.
Okay, well, and I think we at MEF like to talk to everybody, and the podcast is an example. So many people will listen, but all of the traditional member of the Mobile Ecosystem Forum, as I mentioned at the beginning, some of the direct carrier payments billing, some of the mobile wallets right now, are probably the one we will have to do some thinking in the next. If it a popular consumer brand is moving to Bitcoin as well, that probably means not necessarily there's going to be a success, as you were saying, we'll see, but that you they might well think and prepare on what could be a new de facto status, where cryptocurrency, maybe Bitcoin, maybe something else, could really be there and could really be used as payments for digital world.
I think so, we have a tremendous need for innovation. And innovation doesn't apply, study from logic. So to me, I've very seldom achieved any innovative ideas by asking myself, how can I logically build something that makes sense? And it's rather the other way around. So in fact, you have to start by experimenting, by probably irrationality first, and then you apply logic to confirm whether the idea makes sense or not. That's the level of experimentation that probably we need in this period of time, especially in telco, in the payment space, because most of the players have been working incrementally to add new pieces to something that is proven to work. But to me, there is a tremendous need, especially in this period of time, of coming back with solution that at the beginning might not make sense, but with a little sense of logic might be proven to be right.
Okay, well, experimentation is the name of the game, it seems.
Let's stimulate it.
we'll get back to that. As you know, innovation is one of the key things that we have to keep on looking at in this market, and we will continue. Daniela, for the time being, I'll just thank you and wait for the next bit. But I assume we'll have to come back to these discussions of
payment. There's a lot in this space. Let's try to find some time to breathe a bit and then come back to the topic, because especially into the fields of payment, we can provide a lot of insight and inspiration for people willing to build new businesses there. Yeah.
So here we go. We will talk about innovations in payment soon. Give us a bit of time to see how things are moving. But anything that happens in the world of payments, blockchain, etc., we will look at it, and we'll ask Daniela to comment on later on. If you have questions, do send us those as well. For the time being, all for today. We are not allowed to go much after this, but in a couple of weeks, we'll come back with a new podcast, so stay tuned. Thank you, Daniela.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Bye.